time for the FTN NBA podcast. Breaking down all the news, stats, trades, and more from the exciting basketball world. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Zach Graham.
What's up, everybody? This is the FTN NBA podcast, February 14th, 2023. Adam Pfeiffer here, joined by Zach Graham, as always, on this Tuesday, a couple of days after Super Bowl Sunday. What a game. I know this is the basketball pod, but Zach, how was your weekend? Did you watch the game? Did you enjoy the game? And look, that sucked. I watched the game with all my fan, my friends who were all Philly fans. Ooh. And you don't want to see, first of all, I didn't want to see any of my friends upset after a loss like that, but especially the way the game ended, it was tough. But overall, it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, man. I mean, of course, we have to talk about, like, we talk about football when appropriate, usually to open the pod, and this will obviously be the last time, maybe until draft season, right around April. But yeah, it was a great game. Didn't work out for me betting wise. I pretty much just went in on Philly. -1.5. Obviously, was feeling great at halftime. Because even like you set aside the one mistake that led to a touchdown, like they should have been up even more. I thought Philadelphia, that is, and you know, I'm probably a little biased because I kind of like laddered it up to alternate spreads, Philly 6.5, Philly 9.5. So I was thinking, like, me and my buddy are sitting there at halftime, kind of like, oh baby, this is gonna be a clean sweep for us. And then, I mean, props to KC, man. Like, you obviously, it's been talked about extensively over the last 48 hours, the holding call that somewhat decided the game, you know. But, you know, you can't put yourself in the position where one call makes or breaks your game.
Yeah.
So a lot of
credit. Like, everybody from the Eagles, players, coaches, like, not one excuse,
yeah,
which was, I thought was really cool by them. Like, and can I get this out of the way too?
Sure.
Why are we experimenting with new grass for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because that was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
horrible.
Like, Dallas Goedert was interviewed. He said he changed cleats and it helped a little bit, but like we don't play Super Bowls outdoors because we don't want weather to be an impact to the game. So they're always in domes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then the field conditions actually, like, they didn't decide the game, but like, you shouldn't have either team playing in those conditions.
It affected the game for sure, right? Like,
100%.
Both teams.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I thought more of the story was the Chiefs offensive line, and, you know, they double teamed Hassan Reddick multiple times. But like, to not have this team for the Eagles that had 70 sacks this season, not get one sack was crazy. But yeah, there was a couple plays really that, like, first of all, like, the Eagles defense, like, Gannon had zero desire to switch out of that zone defense, and it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe their thought process was, okay, it's tougher to play man in these conditions because if the defender's slipping, I guess, but like, it just, whatever they were doing didn't work. Andy Reid and Bieniemy just coached up a brilliant game plan. And at the end of the day, it came down to that to me. And it also came down to a couple plays, like you said. 3rd and 1, the Eagles were going to go for their patented quarterback sneak to get the first. False start, makes it 3rd and 6. And then the next play, Jalen Hurts has the very, very, very just fluke, unfortunate fumble.
Yeah.
And that play changed the game. And then the awful punt. Like, that was, everybody talks about, it was a great return by Kadarius Toney. And I promise we'll get to basketball in a second. fantastic return from Kadarius Toney. But that punt is just, like, the ball barely went in the air. Like, and then you get, you know, down to the 5-yard line. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are up by 8. So, but Jalen Hurts was amazing. I love Jalen Hurts. Mahomes is obviously amazing. Now we're starting to get to the, okay, could he approach GOAT status? I mean, it's tough to imagine anybody passing Tom Brady, but shit, man, what is he, 5 years into his starter season as a starter, and he's got two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, two MVPs, passing records, yardage records, touchdown records. Like, he's on his way to being at least number two.
He's already an all-timer, right? Like, first ballot Hall of Fame if he retires.
Yeah, his career ends today. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. Yeah. And as somebody who has seen my season end to the hands of the Chiefs, love seeing them win a Super Bowl again. Just nothing makes me happier than seeing them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The underdog. That's the only thing that made me annoyed about the game.
Yeah.
Nobody gave us such, like, come on.
They weren't
number one seed.
A point and a half. They weren't like heavy dogs or anything. But I can understand that they used that as bulletin board material because none of the Philly, you know, nobody in the Eagles realm was stupid enough to say something like Jalen Hurts is Patrick Mahomes' father, like fucking Cincinnati mayor.
I told all my friends because, like, I think most people would agree that the Eagles probably have the better roster overall.
Sure.
And if this was like the NBA where it's a 7-game series, you might pick the Eagles to win. One game with the best quarterback, the best player in football, the best, arguably the best coach in football, that's what all my friends are worried about. It's like, it's only one game. Like, and it was an awesome game. I definitely wanted the Eagles to win, but.
And drugs, because Patrick Mahomes got the good stuff.
He was like borderline tears at halftime and comes out and scrambles all over the place. So, yeah. but football season officially over. We'll have a ton of off-season content. We're already rolling out off-season content at FTN Fantasy, so be on the lookout for that. But to basketball. Some stuff happened over the weekend. We had, obviously, some players. We'll talk about the buyout market. Danny Green to Cleveland. That'll be fun. Terrence Ross, it looked like he was going to go to Dallas, but he ends up going to Phoenix. Reggie Jackson to, I believe, Denver. So we'll talk about some other players that are still out there. Dwayne Dedman back with Philly. So we'll talk about that. But this will be a fun episode. This is your idea, Zach. So why don't you tell everybody what we're doing today?
Yeah, so two, I guess, main items on the agenda for today. Obviously, we did the live trade deadline stream that was uploaded here to the podcast feed. So if you missed that and wanted to just kind of hear what our live reactions were to some of those deadline deals, and of course, breaking down the Kyrie trade, the KD trade, and everything in between, you can go back one episode on the podcast feed and catch all of that on replay.
Hashtag second round picks.
Yeah. So the official count, I don't know if you heard this, Adam. We were wondering what the
can I guess?
Yeah. We were wondering what the final tally would be. I did hear it from Russillo.
I will say 72.
You almost half that. It was 38, but 38, a record nonetheless.
38 feels low. I was like 90% serious with my guess of 72.
Yeah. Well, and so the 38, I believe, was including like new trades. So like if 5 second round picks were initially reported and then that deal got expanded and they ended up going to another team, that still only counted as 5. But if one team got 4 second round picks and then flipped them in a separate deal, that counted as 8. So 38 was that tally. So today, again, two things on the agenda. We're going to talk some of those buyout players, the buyout market as a whole, kind of as Adam alluded to there. And then we've got All-Star Weekend coming up, of course. A little bit of an interesting format with the All-Star game as it continues to evolve seemingly year to year. You know, we know, unless you haven't paid attention to the All-Star game format over the last few years, you know, we've had the Elam ending come in. And I believe that is staying in the fourth quarter. We've had the All-Star draft, right, where the 10 starters are drafted and then the reserves are drafted after that by the two team captains, you know, and the team captains are each top vote getter from the fan vote in either conference. So I believe it's Team Giannis and Team LeBron this year. Shocker. But then the big change this year, right, Adam, is that the draft, while I believe it happened the previous week last year on TNT and maybe even the last 2 years, this year, and I think credit was given actually to Kevin Durant for this idea, and I really like it from a entertainment standpoint, but from a DFS and betting standpoint, it actually kind of sucks they are going to draft the All-Star rosters on the court right before the game, like we're playing pickup. Again, I think it's a really cool idea, and I'm excited to see that, but impossible, essentially, to do DFS contests without rosters until right before the game. And again, then, you know, if you are a degen like myself and you want to bet on some All-Star things, it's tough to do that. So obviously All-Star Saturday night, right? And I can say this and kind of pump our content for over the weekend. We're going to have a free piece go out on FTN Bets. The entire NBA team is going to make their picks for the All-Star Saturday night competitions, the skills comp, the dunk competition, three-point contest. We are still actually waiting for the full list of participants from the skills competition, but we have three-point, we have dunk. So look forward to that coming out on Friday, getting you ready. You know, if you want to do any betting on the weekend, or you just want to kind of, you know, see what we think and compare and contrast after the fact, excited to get that piece out as well. So we are going to draft our own All-Star teams here. Like, we were going to go coach this game at the park. So excited to
do that. How about, by the way, the format is, like, instead of doing the draft, like, mm-hmm. via webcam with LeBron and Giannis, like they've been doing, right. It's going to be actually on the court.
I believe so.
So that's cool. Yeah. That's cool until whoever is the last selection feels terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens at the park. It does. At pickup, right? It happens on the webcam, on national TV regardless. You're just not there. And so maybe that guy and, you know, that whoever gets picked last is probably in a role that they're going to play, you know, 8-9 minutes in this All-Star game. But, you know, a little incentive for them to go and show out there if they are what would be the 24th pick, I guess, or 22nd.
Yeah, and we got like an hour ago, Shams posted the 3-point participants. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be pretty good, I think. Tatum, Kevin Huerter, Tyler Hero, Tyrese Haliburton, yep. Buddy Hield, and then Dame, Anthony Simons, and Laurie. So yeah. I think my first takeaway was, where the hell is Isaac Okoro? as many would probably also believe. Yeah. But no, that'll be a really good one.
I have a complaint. We really need two pairs of teammates in this field of eight. I feel like we can spread it out a little bit more and give some love to some of the other teams. I'm not saying that any, like, all of these guys certainly deserving and shoot the absolute piss out of the ball, but, like, you know, and I'm not that Okoro deserves to be there at all, but, like, like, can we get some of these other, like, lesser known guys instead of Dame and Simons, right? We're bringing that entire, like, backcourt.
Yeah, the Okoro mention was obviously a joke, right. But I think Garland would be awesome for this.
Yeah.
I think you could definitely, like, obviously, I would like to see, like, it's tough because, like, there's a bunch of really good 3-point shooters off minimum volume, but a lot of those players are also, it's more so not because they're, like, for instance, like, I don't know, like Yuta Watanabe, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's a really good 3-point shooter, especially in the corner, but he plays like 15 minutes a game sometimes.
Right.
But you also want the more known players in the competition. But I do agree, like, it is kind of a little bit overload to have two players from the Pacers, although, you know, Simons and Dame could be. They could be 1 and 2 in this competition very easily.
Again, I'm not saying any of these guys aren't absolutely deserving. I just thought, like, I think it's nice to get representation for some of the teams, especially teams that don't have all-stars in this game or rising stars, whatever competition a team may have representation for. So, you know, I'm picking nits here. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, too, that goes into this behind the scenes. Like, I'm sure they invited a couple guys from other teams who set either, you know, turned it down or, like, already had plans. Like, if I'm not in one of the games and I haven't been invited to a competition, I'm probably making plans with, you know, either my family or girlfriend, fiance, whatever. We're going out for 4 days.
You saw what Jimmy Butler said?
No, what did he say?
They asked him after one of the games recently, like, how do you feel about not making the All-Star team? And he was like, great.
Yeah, he's like, hell
yeah.
I get
a vacation. Yeah. I got a vacation.
Yeah, so I'm sure some of that goes on as well. So, 3-point contest. It should be great.
All right, let's get to the draft, Zach. You want first or second? Are we doing just back and forth, right?
Yeah, so back and forth. I think what we should do is, because, again, we should draft the 10 starters. Because that's how they do it, right? The 10 starters go because those 10 guys have to start the game based on the fan vote. And then we draft the reserves. So I think if you want to take first pick, I'm fine with that. And then I think we should swap it when we get to the reserves and the other guy gets the first pick of the reserves.
All right. I'll let you choose since the last draft we did, I just gave myself the first spot.
All right, so. Well, I will defer and let you pick first from the starters, and I will take the first pick from the reserves.
So I'm trying to decipher which way I want to do this. Do I want to do it of like just the pure best players this season, who I think's been the best players in that order, or if it's just based off the fun aspect of it? I'm trying to. That's what I'm kind of struggling with here. Man, all right. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be boring. I'm gonna take LeBron. I'm just gonna take the greatest player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just broke the record. Hasn't played since, so we haven't gotten to see LeBron and the new look team in LA. But still, like even if this was like, that's the thing too about LeBron. Like we always see this with some of the all time greats when they're in their age 35 plus seasons, and they'll still make the All Star team, but they're averaging like 17 points. No, this is age 38 LeBron averaging 38.5 and 7.
Yeah.
If I wanted to take Jokic, but I'm still riding the LeBron kind of just appreciate his greatness type of high right now. Yeah. So give me LeBron 101.
Yeah, and I'll take Giannis. And I think it's like not just that I want to take Giannis here, but I think appropriate that we split up the two captains, because if we didn't, then it's already an unrealistic team. So we'll just split the captains here. I will take Giannis, and I think both guys that LeBron and Giannis that want to make an impact in this game, because that can't be said for all of them. Some of these guys come out here and just don't give a shit.
So if I were doing this just based off going who I think's been the best players, I would easily take Jokic here. Right. But let's have fun.
All right.
Let's give LA fans a potential 2023-24 sneak peek and put Kyrie on Team LeBron.
All right, Kyrie.
Let's have some fun, man.
Yeah.
We can talk about it too. Kyrie's played two games alongside Luka now. The stats have been awesome, but they're own too.
Yeah.
Dallas's defense
last night, didn't they?
Yeah, I was just gonna say Dallas's defense. The two games, was it two games? Kyrie played without Luka so far.
Yes, because the
Clippers game,
and then again, then they played a back to back, and I think
Sacramento.
Yeah, Luka sat the front end and played the second.
Yeah, so their defense is actually. That was the storyline. Like, their defense is going to be terrible. They started off pretty well. But, they've now dropped the two games with Luka and Kyrie. I haven't gotten to, sit down and actually watch a lot of the two. Have you watched any of it? Like, have you noticed anything? Like, obviously, you're going to see situations where one of these guys is on the floor at all times. But just in terms of, I could pull up numbers and see the last couple games, if Kyrie's spotting up more, if not. But, yeah, nothing's changed, right? These are still two of the most dynamic players, most gifted offensive players we've seen in the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, I mean, combined for a very nice 69 points last night. Again, and did not actually, I said, got waxed last night. They actually closed and had a chance to tie the game. I think didn't get a shot off there at the end. But they were down 25 in the third quarter. This was a pretty big comeback effort here by the Mavs. 39 points in the fourth quarter. So they entered the fourth quarter down 18, just to kind of illustrate how that game went. So again, I did not have eyes on the full game there, but I think what we saw just from the comeback alone is the offensive firepower of this team. They did run Christian Wood out there for the most minutes he's seen since the trade deadline. I played 23 off the bench, very efficient, 24 points on 12 shots, 5 boards, 2 assists, and a steal for good measure. But you gave up 124 to a team that's starting Taurean Prince. I just don't think I said it last week, right? When we had the Kyrie trade already in the first episode of the week, we talked about it again on the trade deadline stream. I just don't think this is going to work, because I think, and it's funny to say, but giving up Dorian Finney-Smith in that deal was not great, because it takes away some of their versatility. Rotation wise, DFS was playing some small ball center for this team at times. And just their wing defense. Now you're relying on Reggie Bullock and young Josh Green, who props to Josh Green. He's having a much better season than we've seen out of him the first.
He's also now essentially, again, in terms of his role and what they're asking him to do.
He's Dorian Finney-Smith. He's
Bridges. I was going to say he's like Mikal Bridges because he's playing 40 minutes every game now. And he's, you know, again, he's not. If he becomes Mikal Bridges, slam dunk for Dallas, obviously. Oh, yeah. But he's literally playing like 40 minutes now. We both had definite concerns coming in. There's going to be games where, like, you look at the last, since, what was it, February 10th. Mm-hmm. I have the stats. They are the number five half court. Again, small sample size, but they're the number five half court offense in basketball. Like, not too shocking.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. And I think LeBron and Kyrie, obviously we've seen that work before. I think they would have, that would be a lot of fun to see that in this All-Star game. And we very well may see that because LeBron controls it. He can draft Kyrie first, as you just did, after the captains here, of course. I will go ahead and take Jason Tatum gearing up for that fourth quarter, you know, when these guys really actually start to play basketball and compete. So I think the Giannis Tatum pairing is a strong one.
Yeah, and for that exact reason, I'm going to take Embiid over Jokic.
Yeah.
Jokic is arguably the best player in the league, but I think from watching these All-Star games in the past, Embiid kind of takes it to another level in the All-Star game, mm-hmm. and Jokic kind of just like cruises, and it's fine. But because, again, like you said, down the stretch of the All-Star game, when we have that situation where these teams kind of lock in, I want Embiid there. By the way, he's leading the NBA in scoring. He's thankfully, it's awful that it took an injury for it to happen, but he's an All-Star starter, as he should have been all along, in my opinion, over Jason Tatum, averaging 33 points, over 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Defense is obviously, whenever he's locked in and engaged, he's still as good as it gets. I'll go LeBron, Kyrie, and Embiid for my top three.
I'm looking at who we've got here on the reserves. Just trying to plan out my team here, Adam. You know, taking this very, very seriously.
A little too seriously.
I think I have to take Jokic here, just size-wise. Like, obviously, Giannis and Tatum himself, both big guys, but I'll take Jokic here just because I don't see another body that I think is more capable physically to match up with Embiid. And I'm taking the two-time defending MVP, so I'll take Nikola Jokic.
So we have left over is Luka, Laurie, Ja.
Wonder who you're Mitchell. Taking.
Taking Luka.
Oh, okay. So Luka,
it's a perfect situation here.
Yeah,
get more minutes alongside Kyrie. And at the end of the day, like, your team's too. You have like three of the top five players in basketball. I need to catch up. I need to get Luka.
All right. Well, I will go ahead
and like again, I love Mitchell. He just had 41. Yeah. Did you see the move he put on Sohan yesterday?
No. Do I want to?
Please go on Twitter while I'm talking. Next time I'm talking. Uh-huh. And just type in Donovan Mitchell, Jeremy Sochan. And I tweeted it. He has the best pullback crossover in basketball, and it's not even close. So just kind of gave away what happens, but enjoy it.
Well, as I do that, I will go ahead and take your boy, Donovan Mitchell. And definitely a debate for me between he and Ja Morant there. And it's probably, it may be wrong. But I feel like in this game, like we're going, you know, first to, what do they do? 24, I think, for the Elam ending there. I think I want Donovan Mitchell over Ja Morant with the guys that I have already, just for the, what I think is a little bit better defense and certainly more length defensively there. I think there's just a little bit more versatility to Donovan Mitchell, than Ja Morant in this scenario.
So I like this. You're going from the I want to win approach. Oh, yeah. I'm going for just let's have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And the let's have fun to have Ja Morant here at the second to last spot in the among the starters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm taking perhaps the most fun player in basketball who's going to have some highlight plays in the All-Star game. So.
Well, I'm now He pushed off, Adam. He pushed off.
Absolutely.
I don't think he did. yeah, very good move. And 41, right? You said last night, big night.
41, and took 25 minutes for me to mention it. Cleveland Cavaliers, 7-game winning streak,
yeah,
heading into a Wednesday game against Philadelphia in Philly that I am trying to attend, but none of my friends want to go. I don't understand. This game also, if the Cavs win, whoever wins this game is the third seed in the East. So
yeah, I mean,
not an insignificant contest here in mid-February.
Yeah, Cavs obviously picking up some ground on Philly and on Boston over the last 10 with their 7-game win streak. Bucks on a 10-game win streak, so just those top four there in the East, absolutely crushing. Philly, 3-game win streak, Boston, 4-game win streak. So the games remaining in this season, you know, we've got, what, about a third of the season left, I think. The games between those top four are just going to be playoff atmospheres. And, like, those, I feel like any game between those top four in the East is, like, must-watch if you're an NBA fan. But who's doing a better job at attaining their end of season goal right now? Is it the 7-game win streak of the Cleveland Cavaliers, or you waited 25 minutes? So did I. The 13-game losing streak for the San Antonio Spurs. Now a half game back from the worst record in the league. Come on, Houston, keep playing Şengün, keep playing Jalen Green. They need all the experience they can get and a couple more wins. You know, won't hurt you too bad. I want that. I have now, I'm pretty confident at this point, Adam, that San Antonio will end up in the bottom three. Bottom three is just where you need to be for that, what I believe is a 14% chance at Wembanyama. God, now, like, I was such a huge fan of them smoothing out the lottery odds, and now that I'm in it, I really wish there was that 25% chance still up at the top. But now I have focused, as I told you before we went live, I have now focused on getting that worst record because I want the 31st pick as well. Essentially, a late first there, because there are no lottery odds for the second round, so... now that we've both put and taken on, or taken our homer caps, put them on, now taken them off again, back to the draft here, I am now forced to take Lauri Markkanen with my fifth pick of the starters. So, Lauri Markkanen, no stranger to being in giant starting lineups, but I don't think he's ever started at the two before, which is what he will do for Team Zach, in the All-Star game. And then we're back on the clock here to kick off the reserves. And I think because of what I just said right there, I think I need...
Also, we should preface this real quick. Yeah. We are not selecting Kevin Durant, Zion, or Steph Curry, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so those three guys that have been replaced by, what, Ant Edwards, De'Aaron Fox, and Triple J?
Siakam.
Siakam, that's right, that's right. So those replacements are now in our draft, if people couldn't tell by Lauri being a starter there. I do think I need more guard play here.
I think we both want one of these players, and I had a feeling I was just gonna have to take whoever you don't take. So I'm assuming they both play in the Western Conference, and they both are averaging 30 points per game.
They do, and like because of my mindset that I'm like trying to build the best closing five here to like win the actual fourth quarter.
Damn it!
I'm thinking about Jrue Holiday here.
Oh
yeah. Because Jrue Holiday will shut...
He is not going to be on the floor, first of all.
Well, if you're trying to win, he might be, because now we don't have the bullshit.
There is a 0% chance Jrue Holiday is on the floor in the fourth quarter of this All-Star game.
We'll see.
Zero.
We'll see. What kind of odds Zero. Will you give me? Because if you're trying to win, you put Jrue Holiday.
Bro, there's
on
no
the
way Jrue Holiday is going to be saying, on the floor in an All-Star I'm game in the fourth quarter.
If you want somebody to shut down Damian Lillard, Jrue Holiday has done it for many
I
years.
Will say he does have a better chance now with Steph not playing.
Yeah. And Chris, dude, and the fact Chris Paul is not in this All-Star game is so good for the other guards, because Chris Paul always just legacy on the court to close. And like, it's been fine, but like, he was like starting last year. I don't want to see fucking Chris Paul out there anymore. Like, he's just not in the 10 guys that I would have closing that game if we're treating it seriously. And all that to say this, I will take Damian Lillard as
Damn
my
it.
First reserve.
I should have convinced you. I should have said he's definitely closing this game. You got to go Jrue Holiday here.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I kind of talked about this. I think I was on stream on Friday with Alex, and I've kind of talked about this before on the pod too. I understand Portland's like this floating right around league average, right? Mm-hmm. Why are we not talking about what Dame's doing more? He has been on.
Because they're not even in the play-in?
I get it, but like we talk about like a lot of the start of the season, Dallas was playing bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I understand Luka is one of the most popular players in basketball. I understand that. But like Dame's out here putting up 40 like every other game. Yeah. It's not like he puts up 40 once and then 7-8 games go and he puts up, no, it's like 40 and then 34 and then 29 and then 45. Like, I don't have his game log in front of me, but I'd imagine he scored 40-plus points, like, 10 times over the last 25 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
He's been unbelievable.
I think we see that... obviously, we know the injury, the core injury, right? That abdominal injury was really bothering him last year. It showed up in his play. It showed up in his shooting efficiency. And he's right back to career levels from three. He's above his career average from the floor. Getting to the line, which has been a huge topic for us on the pod, getting to the line, career high 9.2 times per game. And you mentioned just the individual scoring performances have been outstanding. 11 games now of 40 or more points, if we're including last night's performance, where he went over 30 in the first half and just kind of coasted into the finish line as they blew out the Lakers. He's been awesome. The fact that you're seeing his points props legitimately be posted on books, on Prize Picks, whatever, at like 35.5 from night to night is just indicative of how well he's playing right now. But that being said, like I mentioned, the Blazers still suck. Like Dame, he's great. He should have asked.
Hey, Matisse Thybulle scored 14 actual points yesterday.
I know. What a change of scenery. What it can do. Unbelievable. For you.
All right. So like I kind of alluded to, I had a feeling it would be between these two guards in the West. I'm going SGA, 31 points per game, just under 6 assists. Did you see I think he had 44 points. Did you see his shot chart in that game?
No.
It was unbelievable. He
is it all in the paint?
Green right at the basket. Mm-hmm. He did not. He scored 44 on zero threes. He took one. He took one three. Yeah. Missed it. Yeah. Took one shot from like the elbow, and then made a shot from the left elbow. Everything else was in the restricted area. It's not a surprise, right? We talked about it. He's averaging like 25 drives per game, like 15 points per game off drives. He has been just unbelievable. So it was. I knew coming in. Between the reserves, I was going to choose between Dame and SGA. You went Dame, so SGA, who's obviously been one of the 10 best players in basketball this season, he's joining the squad.
Well, I do like the pick, and now that I do have Dame and Spider in the backcourt, I think we're just going to go back to working on the wings here, and I will go ahead and just take Paul George.
Nah, you're starting to piss me off now.
And add him to my reserve list.
Definitely starting to piss me off.
Deferring to the first pick of the reserves, I think, is paying off so far.
Can I ask this?
Yes.
Are the refs calling fouls in this game?
I mean, I don't know. It depends. Depends on if they are first 3.5 quarters Super Bowl.
Will Triple J be the first player to ever foul out of an All-Star game?
No, he will not.
Trying to think. So my roster right now, as it stands, I probably should have wrote this down. I have LeBron.
I got you. I got it right here. LeBron, okay, Kyrie, Embiid, Luka, Ja, and then SGA.
Okay, so I need some wings for sure. So a player that should have made it all along, in my opinion, as well, is Pascal Siakam. But there is a player that I do believe is slightly better than him that I believe is going to play. I think he's getting fitted for a mask. That's Jaylen Brown.
Bastard.
So I'll go Jaylen Brown. Two-way, I need some defense. I obviously need some wings. He's obviously been fantastic offensively this season as well. And just with the way my roster is, I think the only wing I have really is LeBron.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, which is why I was very upset that you went Paul George. But nothing wrong with Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I will put you in a tough spot here. This is just a pure, I guess, just blocking you from getting any more good wings. Give me Anthony Edwards. Not the top player on my board, but I don't think you have very many guys that can legit play on the wings left. So,
I do.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Well, Siakam's there.
Yeah.
But I'm going Bam.
All right. You can put Bam at the four then.
I'll put Bam at the one.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because Bam is in my top 10 of favorite players in the NBA. And that's all the reason I need to select him here. I love Bam so much. So glad he got in the All-Star game. Yeah. And, like, again, you want to talk about closing. Whatever your team decides to do in terms of playing players at the four or the five, mm-hmm. I got Bam. I'm fine.
All right. You can keep thinking that. Just wait till we run out our Jokic at the one lineup. I'll go ahead and take Triple J here, you know, because the game is not in Memphis, but I imagine many blocks to be had, especially down the stretch. Considering how much guys go to the rim, Triple J will be patrolling our paint for, yeah, I don't know, 12 minutes that night.
So this is tough because I keep looking at the rosters. I'm like, oh my God, nobody took Durant yet. And I'm like, oh wait.
For the listeners, the remaining players, DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, Julius Randle, Pascal Siakam, and DeMontis Sabonis.
Yeah. I don't want to get too like redundant with like, because like for instance, like, I'm assuming you have zero interest in taking Sabonis because you have Jokic.
I might have like, whole Euro lineup. You never know.
Very fair.
I've got Laurie too.
So I'm trying to think of how I want to start. Well, to start, well, we're going to start the starters, obviously. So I'm going to start, let's see. Ja at the one, Kyrie at the two, Luka at the three, I guess. Mm-hmm. LeBron at the four, Embiid at the five. That's my starters. And then my bench right now is Jaylen Brown, Shea, and Bam. So I could go multiple ways here. I could go the defense of Drew Holiday. I could go with the facilitating of Halliburton, but I don't think I need it. Although Halliburton's shooting incredibly well from three. He is in the three-point shootout, which we mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's going to be between Siakam and Halliburton for me. And I'm going to go with Siakam just because I think with Ja, Kyrie, Luka, and Shea, could add another wing.
Sure.
Also, I believe he should have made the All-Star team originally anyway. Yeah. Over DeMar DeRozan, which we talked about.
Sure.
How about, by the way, James Harden... not an all-star still.
I don't hate it. You know, I get it if somebody wanted to put him in over DeMar DeRozan. I think that's probably the right move, but I just don't hate it. Like, James Harden is having a fine season, but he's...
Well, here's the thing. You can say, like, there's a lot of players that deserve to be an all-star and it's hard to get in.
Yeah.
There is 0.00% chance that DeRozan should be in over James Harden.
Well, I mean, neither guy do I really want to watch in an all-star game at this point of their careers. And I think DeMar is probably going to be a little bit more, from that entertainment standpoint, a little bit more fun to watch than James Harden when, again, like you mentioned, James Harden, you know, probably not going to get to the line a ton in the all-star game. So
We talked about it. Luka's not really fun to watch either.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I avoided him in the starting lineup. He does not care about this game, but really, you know, I took Nikola Jokic. He doesn't care that much about it either. Yeah. I will take DeMar. I think I already took Sabonis, right? I already announced that pick.
You did not.
Okay, well, I will take DeMontis Sabonis, and I now have the ability, I think, to run out a full 5 Euro lineup with Sabonis, Markkanen, Jokic, Giannis. I need one more. Are there any more internationals? There are not. Damn. I tried.
All right, so that leaves De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, Halliburton, and Drew?
Correct.
And Randle.
Correct, and Randle.
So would Drew close for me if I really wanted to just tighten up defensively? Very possibly. Like,
I'm telling you.
My guards are Kyrie and Ja. So with that said, I think I will take Drew Holiday.
All right. Damn it. Shouldn't have made that strong case earlier. I could have probably got him in the next round since you took Drew. And I know I'm going to have one of these guards come back to me. I will go ahead and take DeMar DeRozan, who I believe closed last year, I think, if I recall correctly. That is who LeBron hit that fadeaway game winner over. I think that was over DeMar. Actually, no, I don't. Because it was not. They were on the same team because they did a big chest bump after. I remember that shot well. But DeMar DeRozan on the team. Three guys left. Fox, Hallie, and Randall.
I really want to take Haliburton. I already have Luka, Kyrie, Ja, SGA, and Holiday, though. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Tyrese Haliburton anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're going to end up with one of those guards anyways here. So Hallie, I will take Fox because I need the additional ball handler. Leaving nice, you
and I get,
with
and I get Randall.
Big Bear, Julius Randle. So, Adam, your team, your five starters, LeBron, Kyrie, Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, and Ja Morant. Your bench, SGA, Jaylen Brown, Bam Adebayo, Pascal Siakam, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Haliburton, and Julius Randle.
Our defense will be fine. We got some stoppers on that bench.
Team Zach is Giannis, Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, Donovan Mitchell, Lauri Markkanen, and a bench of Damian Lillard, Paul George, Anthony Edwards, Jaren Jackson Jr., Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, and De'Aaron Fox. Feeling pretty good over here.
Well, yeah, you have Giannis, who's like the All-Star Game tryhard.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes for the MVP every year. Yeah. It's great.
And so, I mean, you got the other guy. LeBron, the two captains are the guys that are going to try the hardest, I think.
It's true.
Some of those young guys in their limited time will probably go hard. Ant, SGA, I think, you know, Haliburton, like first time guys, I think you go out there and try to make your mark even in limited time. And I do think some of these, like Lauri Markkanen, is probably not closing for Team Zach, nor will he close for whichever team he ends up on in the game. And I honestly don't think, like, I don't think Luka will close. I don't know if Jokic will close. Like,
they might ask Luka to close, and they'll just be like, I'm good.
Yeah. Right. Or they send him out there and realize that he doesn't care, and they end up subbing him out before the end.
Right. All right, that was fun, though. Again, All-Star Game coming up. We'll have, like Zach said, we'll have some content for it. It'll be a rough couple of days in terms of, like, not having basketball to watch during the break. Yeah. But I always – this happens every year where it's like you would think – the All-Star break is the halfway point of the season, and it's not even close to it. Like, it's not even remotely the halfway point. Yeah. So, all right, Zach, I'll kick it to you. Let's go through some of these players that signed with teams from the buyout market.
Yeah.
Because with how crazy the deadline is, there's also a pretty loaded, pool of players in terms of buyout players.
Yeah. And I think, I've got a list here of guys. Maybe I left one or two off, and I think, you know, still some buyouts that have not been reported yet that will come. Let's just start in your neck of the woods, though, because, you know, I you mentioned so many names over the last month or so, whether it was Eric Gordon or Josh Richardson or Luke Kennard. And you guys end up, like you said at the top of the pod, with Danny Green, I believe $2 million one-year deal for him after being traded.
I saw it was actually, like, more than the... Like, they actually gave him more than most players
get on
in the buyout market tend to. So it was like, it was more than just like, we'll kind of see what happens. It's like they were, and we saw the reports immediately. It was, Cleveland. I don't remember the other team, but like Cleveland felt like the favorite the whole time. So like, this is like legitimately like, again, it's not going to change. It's not going to impact whether they win a title or not, but like, this was a move that was more than just a veteran. Let's see what happens. Like, they were very interested in bringing in Danny Green.
Yeah, and like, it remains to be seen how well he has actually recovered. Like, he was laboring a little bit in the limited time he got with Memphis the last like 10 days or so before they shipped him out. But again, if he is 80% of what he was before the ACL injury. Again, that wasn't a great, he's certainly not like an all-star caliber player. You wouldn't even, you'd probably put him at barely above average, you know, as a defender on the wing at this point of his career, but still a very capable shooter and like definitely bolsters the depth of this Cleveland team. And another thing I didn't want us to bury here, we talked about how many guys over the deadline went back to teams they used to play on. Danny Green, add him to the list, back home. Let's see if he does as many dances on the bench as he used to for this Cavs team.
I remember watching him at UNC, and I liked him. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Cleveland, and I was like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Didn't get to play with LeBron really ever.
Yeah. But they did have some great handshakes.
100%. And when you're playing on a team with LeBron, you will have top-tier handshakes because
his are
unbelievable. So I've talked about this a lot, and the Cavs, we know they're, in terms of where they rank in terms of three-point percentage off catch-and-shoot opportunities, they are, you know, they've been better recently because players like Okoro have stepped up, but it's been a struggle for them a little bit in terms of, you know, spot-up points per game, catch-and-shoot points per game, three-point catch-and-shoot points per game. Only the Rockets are averaging fewer points per game off catch-and-shoot opportunities. And to be fair, it's not just because, like, we haven't seen the wing depth. It's because a lot of their points come off Mitchell isolations, Garland pick and roll, Garland floaters. So they don't have a lot of possessions where it's, let's just, you know, drive and kick. It's not like a LeBron system. It's not like even like a player like SGA. But we know you want to add more three-point shooting. And the other thing too, and Danny Green, by the way, was just over 41% off catch and shoot threes last season with Philadelphia. So was still, you know, above average in that role. But the other thing too, right? At this point, who has a better chance of being in the rotation for this Cavs team? Danny Green or Kevin Love? Danny Green. Mm-hmm. So you have, you know, my main concern about this Cavs team for all year has been the playoff experience or lack thereof of playing in meaningful games. Danny Green has played in a shitload of meaningful games. Multiple finals, multiple teams. Is it multiple finals or just one final? No, multiple finals. Mm-hmm. San Antonio, Toronto, and then obviously played in some huge games for Philadelphia. That's going to be something that cannot be overstated for this young Cleveland team. And you have that presence. And then you also have the ability. I think he's not going to be like a Coro level defense. He could be good enough. And all he has to do is hit the corner threes when he's open, play good defense for the interesting thing is like, how many minutes does he get? Does he start to take minutes away from Chetty? Dylan Windler was actually active last game, which is like, for Cavs fans, it's like, holy shit,
he didn't play, obviously.
Yeah, he didn't play, obviously, but that just kind of shows when Dylan Windler being active is like an event. That's how you know this Cavs team needs some more wing depth. And I think it's a perfect match, obviously. Like, you have the two superstar young guards. You have, I don't want to talk about it because I'm writing an in-depth piece on him for the site, but Evan Mobley, that's going to be fun to write about. Yeah. Everything's working, and Danny Green being there, like I said, just over 41% off catch and shoot threes last season. Veteran leadership, veteran presence, has played in a ton of huge games. This Cavs team is going to be in the playoffs, and I think it's a perfect move. There's no risk, obviously, to it, and the only move Colby Altman made during the deadline was signing Danny Green. I think that's fine. Like, they didn't want to trade Karis. They didn't want to trade Kevin Love. And when you don't have first-round picks and you're not trading those two players and you're obviously not trading your core four, there's not much you can do in terms of trade. So,
yeah, I think that what they did at the deadline, which, again, like you said, was not much, is fine given the relative youth of this team, those core four.
Especially when nobody in the East did anything really anyway, yeah, other than, like, you know, the Josh Hart move. Pirtle to Toronto. Like, these are the moves that the East made. Philadelphia brought in McDaniels. Miami did nothing. Chicago did nothing.
I mean, Kyrie and KD are out of the East now, which is a boost. I think that is a positive for all four of those top teams. I did have this on the list, not technically a buyout, but I do think he gets picked up by a team eventually. Stanley Johnson was released by San Antonio. I've joked a couple times on streams that it was for playing too well. And again, he didn't get a ton of time, but 30 appearances for the Spurs this year. And again, not a ton of time, not a ton of volume, but did shoot 45% from three. This is a guy who has shot just over 30% for his career. So I don't think that 40%+ from three is the new norm for Stanley Johnson, but he did have a good showing in his time down there in San Antonio. And I think a team does pick him up, albeit not for a role to play big minutes in the playoffs, but just to bolster the depth on a roster. So I do think he re-signs somewhere. A little bit more substance to this one. Terrence Ross was finally bought out by the Orlando Magic. I think probably like at least a year overdue here, getting him out of there. The initial rumor from Woj was that Dallas were the front runners to sign Terrence Ross, but then apparently the Suns made contact with him, and now he is expected to go and join the new look Phoenix Suns. So what do you think about T. Ross in Phoenix?
I mean, he's going to give you some sparks offensively. Defensively, he's not going to do anything. It's going to be tough for him to crack a lot of minutes when essentially the fourth player in that the fifth player in that rotation, in that starting five, or that whatever the unit is, when you're playing one of Durant or Booker most of the time, you pretty much need that player to have defensive ability. That's why Torrey Craig's playing, you know, a huge role all of a sudden now. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, on a team that doesn't have a lot of depth, you can always use somebody that can go out and get you 15 off the bench. So I think it makes sense. I think it would have definitely made more sense for Dallas, which is why I wasn't surprised that they were originally the front runner. But apparently Dallas might be looking at LaMarcus Aldridge. You see that?
Yeah, so I have that on the list here as well. Apparently he's going to work out for Dallas. You know, Aldridge,
as soon as I saw the report that says he's planning on playing this year, I was like, oh, one of the best mid-range players I've ever seen. Just put him on Phoenix.
Yeah.
He'll fit right in.
Yeah. So we'll see if he actually ends up getting a contract. I find it interesting that Dallas would be looking for LaMarcus Aldridge. You have Christian Wood. But, like, you know, I think it is more of an illustration at the desperation that Dallas has now put themselves in, trying to fill out this roster around Kyrie and Luka with the departure of Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie.
By the way, Brooklyn looked pretty good.
Yeah, man, they have a bunch of good players.
They should have beat Philly.
Damn, it's like imagine that team with, like, I don't know, you know,
a superstar.
Yeah, like add a superstar to that team.
It's funny too because they're gonna go down like the same path. Like some I forget what podcast I was listening to, but like they kind of compared it to the Jared Allen, D'Lo, Dinwiddie, LeVert, Brooklyn Nets of, like, yeah, they have a lot of real. Joe Harris was there too, and that's when Joe Harris was really playing at his apex. Mm-hmm. It's like they have a lot of really good players. You imagine if they got a superstar next year, they're gonna have draft picks to, and obviously a ton of. It's not just the fact that they have a ton of really good players; they have a ton of, like, some of the more valuable players in terms of 3-and-D wings, mm-hmm, which every team wants. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna be in the market for a superstar again next season, probably.
Yep.
But Bridges, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mikal Bridges, and he looked great. Dinwiddie's always been really good. You know, Claxton's been great all year. They are going to, you know, they're not going to win anything, but they're not going to all of a sudden, we talk about, they're not going to go from what they were the fourth seed before the trades. They're not going to go from the fourth seed to where, like, I don't know, Toronto's been all year, where they're like 10, 12 games below 500. At least I don't think.
No, and I think they've built up enough of a buffer. They're still 9 games above 500, and I don't think going to be, like, I'm not surprised if they are a below 500 team the rest of the way, but it's not going to be by that much. So I think this team could very well still be in the play-in. You know, they have a 7-game buffer on the 11th place Bulls. You know, the Pacers, I think, going in the wrong direction, 1-9 in their last 10. So I would kind of be surprised.
Would you be shocked if they still were the sixth seed?
I would be, well, sixth seed probably.
Miami, and it's really between what, Miami and New York.
Yeah. Atlanta could make some noise. You, I mean, they have enough talent on that team to get on a run.
Toronto,
would be shocked.
And I've been saying that all year, but
yeah, true. I would be shocked if Brooklyn fell out of the play-in. At this point.
Same. I also wouldn't be surprised if they still manage the sixth spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're well coached. They have really good players. But we know, to win a title, you need a superstar.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But they're going to be frisky. And, like, they're going to be a frustrating team to play just because of the bevy of above-average players that they have. And above-average, like, a lot of those guys are two-way players and very, very solid.
Yeah, they have like 3-4 players that would start on a lot of teams still. Yeah. Like they're obviously starting on their team, but like Claxton starting in a lot of places. Bridges is starting on any team.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Okay, I have, let's see, Dwayne Dedmon bought out by San Antonio after getting shipped there from Miami.
Once again, joining his former team.
Yeah, joining his former team, then got waived and now picked up by Philadelphia to back up Joel Embiid, or at least battle for time with Trez Harrell and B-Ball Paul. I have one name here who we have a destination for or an expected destination, and then I have five names that are bought out or will be bought out that we don't know yet for sure. So I'm excited to discuss those. The last one here that we know for sure, Reggie Jackson in the Mason Plumlee trade. You know, he went to Charlotte. Charlotte bought out Reggie. Now Reggie is expected to sign with Denver and assumably take over that Bones Highland backup point guard spot. And I think Denver certainly could have done worse for themselves, trading Devon Reed in a second round pick and essentially getting Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson out of it, out of the deadline. So kind of moves around the fringes, but I think good moves nonetheless for Denver.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly fine. And like, especially, I don't think, like he's obviously not going to be in the playoff, and maybe somewhat in the rotation, but he's not going to close or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think if they were looking for just more like consistency, maybe like a relatively higher floor, you know, Reggie Jackson at this point probably provides that over Bones. Bones' upside's obviously still pretty high, but and yeah, like I love the Thomas Bryant move too. So you know, they didn't make the splash moves like Phoenix, but Denver, barring health, will still be there at the end, in my opinion.
So now I've got five players here. We'll start with, I think, the least interesting of them. Serge Ibaka was traded to the Pacers, then bought out. I don't know if he was bought out or waived, but Serge Ibaka now trying to get picked up by somebody else. I think
I saw Miami.
Yeah, and I guess that could make sense to kind of fill that Dedmon role, maybe, you know, 10-12 minutes off the bench for him backing up Bam Adebayo. But I also think he could be out of the league, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many spots. Like, I think I saw Miami was interested. Mm-hmm. If not Miami, though, like a lot of these teams found their backup center at the deadline.
Yeah.
Contending teams, by the way. Like Ibaka's not going to go to, like, Charlotte or something.
You would think he would just sign for a contender. Or if you know, because why else would he want to leave the Pace? You know.
Exactly.
He was already on. He already got traded to a bad team, and he already wasn't playing on a good team in the Bucks. So, like, maybe Golden State picks him up just as, like, insurance to Jamichael Green. But, again, I just don't think the market is super hot right now for Serge.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more interesting here, in my opinion, Patrick Beverley was shipped to the Magic. Of course, like, Pat. There's a lot of issues that people have with the things you do. Please learn that if a move is made for you or on your team, don't tweet about it. Or at least like give a 48-hour buffer, because every time this man tweets about something regarding his career, whether it's grit and grind, I'm ready, Memphis, or like, yeah, D'Angelo Russell's, we're back together again. This dude gets moved after he says something on Twitter. So just like, don't press.
Well, he had the one tweet about Shams and Woj.
Yeah.
Like Shams is like something about like Shams being ahead of Woj in terms of breaking the news. Yeah. And then Shams broke the news that he was traded to Orlando.
So as we talked about on the deadline show, right? Like there's no place for him in Orlando. The buyout happened very quickly.
Minnesota, obviously, was like the first team that stood out.
Right. But then there was like, so I think that was kind of like the first, like you mentioned, that was the first thought. But then I think the rumor was that Minnesota's not interested in a reunion there. Where do you see him ending up? Because like, for all we say about Pat Bev, he can definitely help a contender.
Yeah. Let's see.
I have one for you.
Go for it.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Do you trust Davion Mitchell to do anything?
That's a really good one.
I think that's the best one if he's going to stay in the West. And like going to the East may be the move now with the I think the East getting relatively weaker, but I think there right now you would only say there's four teams that have a chance.
I could see Miami too. They've been in the market for a point guard. Lowry's missed time.
And he would make a lot of sense. He would kind of fit the Heat culture, I think. Yeah. A little bit there. I think Sacramento makes sense, man. Like, and would
I like that. I'm gonna go if he's in the West. I like Sacramento. If it's in the East, I think Miami.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Maybe Toronto. You know, like
yeah, especially Miami too, because like again, that team they didn't do anything. Yeah. Their only move was moving on from Deadman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd think they'd bring somebody in.
Same position. Bigger name overall, but maybe not going to play as big of a role as Pat Bev will on wherever he ends up. John Wall was shipped back to Houston and then subsequently bought out. Do you think John Wall gets picked up by somebody here down the stretch? And if so, where?
I honestly don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be a summer thing for him, right? Like kind of take the next couple months off and see what happens.
We got to talk about Russ, right?
Yeah, so that was the final point guard on my list was Russ. And I do want to talk real quickly. Will Barton is expected to be bought out by Washington.
That's the first one. That one broke before the report broke that the Cavs were interested in Danny Green.
Yeah.
When the Will Barton news broke, that's who I was targeting for Cleveland.
Do you think there's any chance they could still go get him? Or I'm not sure if they have I don't think they have a roster spot open anymore.
Right? They don't have a roster spot right now. I don't see a move like...
I mean, they you can always, make. I guess Isaiah is on a two-way probably, right?
Isaiah Mobley's on two-way. They still have Rolo, who's not played because when Mobley and Allen are playing 38 minutes, yeah. There's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
But you'd like to just, you wouldn't, I don't think they'd want to, not have Rolo on the roster. If they had a roster spot, absolutely.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's reunion I could season. See, why not Denver?
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot off the bench.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Will Barton, do you know the system?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sure do. That'd be a good one. Especially, too, because they were in the market for a wing, more so like a defensive stopper. Mm-hmm. But also, like, Michael Porter Jr.'s got this back thing. Could flare up any moment.
Yeah, and
he's dealt with injuries.
He's just not that good. I'm sorry for those people who are the believers in Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I
he's a glorified 3-and-D wing without the defense.
Right.
And a bad back.
Yeah, like when he's on, it just adds another dimension to this unstoppable offense.
Yeah.
But like
I
KCP's been better than him this year.
Yeah. Will Barton wise, I also thought until when the Sadiq Bey, James Wiseman 4-team deal was, when that was in purgatory over the last couple of days before going through, I thought Atlanta could be a team if they didn't end up with Sadiq Bey that could bring in.
I wouldn't hate Memphis either. I know they're deep, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, are there minutes for him there?
That's
the
problem. And
you just spent to get Luke Kennard, like.
He's probably better than Dylan Brooks, though. That was a joke.
Yeah. I mean,
he might
Dylan
be offensively
has,
better
Dylan
than Dylan
has
Brooks.
Not been good lately. Like
he might be offensively. He might be better than Dylan Brooks.
Like Dylan is so good defensively, obviously. And again, I'll use this opportunity. We are a strict no dick punching podcast here. So Dylan Brooks is not in our good graces to say the least right now. But like for him, he's obviously such a great defender, a pest, right? But you have to be average on offense to be in that role on this team with the aspirations that Memphis has and the aspirations of, I think, winning the West are goals that they realistic goals that they should have for this season. And if Dylan Brooks is going to continue to shoot the ball like absolute dog shit, like they have other wings and I think they have to figure out something else in terms of like him playing as big of a role. Like that's clearly in their plans. And it's not going to work if he's out there shooting 2-for-12 every night.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I don't see him. Like, he's still going to be their starter, but, like, there could be some games where, like, they close with, Kennard.
Kennard, yeah, absolutely.
Especially because, like, defensively, he's not even on the same stratosphere as Brooks.
Yeah.
But you still have arguably the best rim protector in the league behind him.
Well, and he, you know,
and Adams.
Funaki will be back. That will help their defense as well. Luke Kennard.
As somebody who loves, well, we both love Steven Adams, but, like, as two people who love Steven Adams, it's kind of, like, I'm not rooting against Memphis, but it's kind of cool to see them losing without Adams so people can realize how yeah, valuable and important sure, Steven Adams is.
For sure. All right, we're over an hour here. You mentioned Russ. Let's close it out with Russ. Supposed to get bought out by Utah.
We know where he's going.
Do we? Where's he going?
Paul George has been trying so hard. It's a perfect fit, in my opinion.
A perfect fit? I don't know if I can say that about anywhere for Russell Westbrook.
I mean, okay, it's fair. But then there was the Bulls rumor, and I'm like,
that really doesn't make sense. What
you
want to
put DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook on the floor together?
They already have 18 guards. Why would they need Russ?
It's going to be one of the three teams: Miami, Chicago, mm-hmm, LA.
Yeah,
the other LA team.
Right.
One of those teams is not going to be in contention. One of those teams might be, and then the Clippers, we still believe, has a shot, barring health. I think if I'm him, I'm going to the Clippers if there's interest there for them. But Miami, again, they've been kind of linked to a lot of these guards too. So,
yeah, I don't know what to think about this because,
you know, it would be fun.
What?
Goes back to OKC, and him and SGA just have 50 drives per game between the two of them.
Oh, God, that would be the worst place for him to go. Don't fuck up what you got going there, OKC. OKC still just a half game back of that last play-in spot. I don't know, man. Like, I also think I would be as equally unsurprised if Russ did not sign with anybody. Took his money from Utah. Took a rest and just signed with somebody in the offseason. I just think that's right now in my mind equally as likely as him ending up with one of these teams deciding to take a chance on him. Like, because not that the chemistry or the vibes around Miami or around the Clippers have been all that great this year. It just, man, like, clear, like, it was not good in LA. And like a lot of that is not his fault because like LeBron, I don't think, and this is not the first time LeBron has not handled himself well in a situation like this. Like we saw that locker room video that came out that their media team put out where like LeBron gave a speech about what they needed to do and keep doing to, you know, keep this thing moving towards a playoff spot. And then Russ, they turned to Russ and Russ was just like, just keep having fun, everybody. Just keep having fun. And LeBron's like over there rolling his eyes. And then the night when LeBron broke the scoring record, they're doing their pregame team dance in the middle and Russ is sitting off to the side, not participating. Like, I don't know, man. I just think it's a circus that none of these teams that have title aspirations really need right now. I'm not surprised if he signs with one of those teams. I'm just also not surprised if he takes his money and fucking takes a breather for a minute. He can't be having a ton of fun. And again, Russ obviously is not a productive NBA player if you are trying to win a title anymore. I don't think you can argue against that. I'm not taking away from the first ballot Hall of Fame player that he is, the rightfully, you know, former MVP, and a guy who, no matter what team he's on, what people say about him or how well or not well that he's shooting, that guy goes out and gives 100% every night. He fucking cares every time he steps on the court. So just, I hope nobody mistakes me like shitting on Russ and saying maybe he should take the rest of the year off for like, I don't like Russ and he's never been good. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't know if he can make it fit. And again, and also props to him for eventually accepting the role coming off the bench with the Lakers and continuing to bust his ass when he was on the court and like, and not be at least a public distraction, but you could see from the glimpses that LA gave us and just Russ's relationship with his other teammates as things soured towards the deadline. I don't know, man. I think he's in a tough spot. I think taking the money and sitting at home is realistic.
I love Russ, so I hope he signs somewhere.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
We I probably should have led with this because like we don't really have a lot of like segments where we go, oh, let's break down the news, because we try to have like a fun topic at least most of the time. But we got to talk about Zion.
Oh, God damn it. My best ball like, teams are weeping.
Dude, like, so the Pelicans, they're out of it. Like, they have no shot. But, like, hamstrings can be tough, right? Obviously, he aggravated, in case anybody's missing the news, he aggravated the hamstring injury. He's going to miss, what, at least in the next month now?
At least another month, yeah.
I mean, we know this New Orleans. It sucks, too, because, like, this was maybe the most exciting team entering the season, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Arguably the most exciting team to enter the season. And they got off to an awesome start. They were the number two seed in the West at one point. And it wasn't like, oh, three games in. It was a decent sample of them being the number two team in the
Almost
West.
Almost halfway.
Yeah. Then B.I. gets hurt. Zion does Zion things. He's like 26 points per game on 60%+ field goal percentage. The facilitating, which I talked about a ton, he is maybe the most underrated passer in the league. He's so good. We saw it at Duke, but we saw it even more so to start this season. Has the hamstring injury, which was a fluke injury against Philadelphia. He was just kind of running to the sideline, and it just kind of like, you know, tightened up. And then now he has aggravated it. And I mean, you think what? Mid-March, best case scenario. Like, we wouldn't be surprised if Zion doesn't play again this year, just given how things have gone.
Yeah.
And it sucks because this team has had, it hasn't just been like, oh, Zion's missed half the year or whatever. It's been B.I.'s missed time. McCollum's missed some time. The wings, Herb Jones has missed. Like, it's been so many players. And it sucks because they, I don't want to say they had a chance to, you know, come out of the West, but they would have been a top four seed probably. You know, it's one of the reasons why the West has been so wide open, because they've been depleted. Golden State's been up and down, and Steph's been out. But yeah, like, they are, as far as I'm concerned, just out of it. And they've already been slipping. They had that 10-game losing streak. Don't have the standings in front of me. I think they're in the play-in right now.
They are the seventh seed right now.
They might not make the play-in because LA is going to get better. Golden State, we still think, is going to be somewhere, at least in the play-in. It sucks.
I think they will make it. But again, like, I agree with you. We may not see Zion again this season, but I just have my fingers crossed that we can see this team healthy by like April Fool's Day, right? Which, like, hopefully it's not a joke when they tweet out on April 1st that they have no injuries to report. But like, give that team 2 weeks to try to gel going into a potential play-in game or a first round series. And then I think we see, like, if those guys are healthy, who knows what happens? Because look what they did last year to the Suns, who obviously the Suns weren't the juggernaut last year that we thought they would, that we thought they were. But like, this Pelicans team is clearly better this year when all these guys are healthy, and like, maybe an elite team when these guys are healthy. We saw the flashes of it, like you mentioned, at the beginning of the season. So certainly one to watch, and like, I really hope that they get in the playoffs, because I want to see a playoff series with Zion Williamson in it. It just really, it feels right. It feels like we're going to get deprived of that again, doesn't it?
I mean, so the teams behind them in the standings that could pass them, right? Like, we haven't seen LeBron with D'Lo and Vanderbilt and Beasley yet, but I think that team can get going. I mean, I don't think, I mentioned Golden State. I think Minnesota will easily pass him. Ant's playing amazing. Conley's, I think, just an overall, he makes more sense in terms of a fit for that team. And then, of course, they're going to get Kat back. Utah, like, they still have some talent on their roster, but we know the direction they're probably heading after, especially after the deadline. Yeah. I could see Portland passing them, but, and then we'll see what OKC decides to do. But, yeah, it's all of a sudden, a team that was second in the West, you know, a couple months ago, and things were looking great, all of a sudden it's not going to be a cakewalk just to get into the play-in, which sucks, because again, you talk about, you know, the league pass rankings entering the season, this team, I would make the case, was number one. Like, obviously, everybody wants to watch, you know, the elite teams, you know, Golden State, Denver, well, the elite teams we thought.
Yeah.
Boston, Milwaukee. But this was the team. This was the team that everybody had their eye on.
Yeah, I will say this, too, about the Lakers, since you mentioned them and their positioning here. And I think both of us still do assume that they're going to improve here with these moves. Like you mentioned earlier, we haven't seen LeBron. I do think we're supposed to see him tomorrow night, kind of the last game before the All-Star break. But in to give credit to Russ, the Lakers are 1-5 without him this year so far. Maybe it's not the addition by subtraction that everybody thinks it's going to be. Obviously, that's a small sample size. But the Lakers, man, they give up more points per game than anybody in the West but the Spurs. The Rockets give up less. The Warriors are only point. The Warriors give up 118.3 per game too. That's really wild to see.
We also have Jamal Murray, who is going to be reevaluated after the All-Star break. Yeah. I would imagine it's mostly what they've been doing all year and being cautious with him. But another player you absolutely hope's healthy, because we haven't seen him in the playoffs in a little bit.
I think,
and we saw what he can do in the playoffs in the bubble.
I think it's more precautionary at this point, right? Kind of like you said, like, they're just managing his injuries, and maybe he is a little bit banged up, and sore, et cetera. But I do think, you know, it's tough to tell the week before the All-Star break, because some teams can just use it. If you sit a guy this week, you sit him for 1 week, it's like buy one, get one free, right? You get 14 days off for a guy.
Any more news items before we get out of here?
No, I think, a fun draft. We always like to draft no matter what it is. So hopefully we get another chance to do something like that here before the end of the year. And yeah, the buyout market is certainly going to be heating up. I think the deadline for guys to be on a roster where they can be eligible for the playoffs, I think, is March 1st. But I might be talking out of my ass there. So I guess we can pick that up on the
other
side.
March 1st.
It is March 1st?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I wasn't just making that up.
That'll do it for us. Probably have a second episode at some point later on this week talking all things hoops. Again, check out all the content right before, because then we'll have the All-Star break, a little bit of a break from, you know, the DFS content, but plenty of other stuff to check out on the site as well. Hopefully everybody has a great week. Check us out. Rating, review, iTunes, all that great stuff. For the FTN NBA podcast, for Zach, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the FTN NBA podcast. Be sure to follow the hosts on Twitter @APPfeiffer24 and KAWissenbergDFS.